Now it's time for AWP, Another World is Possible, and our theme music, We Have the Guillotine. Or is it, We Have the Guillotine? Do they mean that literally? Is that part of the answer to the question I posed you earlier? Whatever became of the guillotine? As we look back at the Paris Commune, is our AWP theme music appropriate, or is it singularly inappropriate? Here it is, performed by The Coup. At the start of today's program, I posed you two riddles. The first, you'll remember, was, why did Lenin dance in the snow on the 73rd day of the Russian Revolution? The snow part is obvious. This was Russia in January. But why dance? And why the 73rd day specifically? The story may be apocryphal. Photographic evidence of Lenin dancing anywhere, indoors or out, is rare. But celebrate he did, for on the 73rd day of its existence, the Russian Revolution surpassed the 72 days of the Paris Commune of 1871, the first organized working-class revolution in the West. Today, in the midst of its 150th anniversary, we look back at the Paris Commune, the uprising that defined both anarchism and Marxism, that inspired and changed the lives of great 19th century revolutionaries, that expanded the sense of possibilities for artists, poets, and writers of utopian fiction, and that brought a horrific repression that revealed the authoritarianism behind the bourgeois state and the limited kind of democracy we live under to this day. Which gets us to the second of our riddles. Why the anthem for this working-class revolution is so gentle? During the French Revolution of 80-plus years before, people sang the Marseillaise with its stirring call to arms against the bloody flag of tyranny. Aux armes, citoyens, formez vos bataillons. To arms, citizens, organize your battalions. And it was, after all, a leading participant in the Paris Commune who wrote the militant The International, directed to the wretched of the earth, the enslaved masses. But that was after the Commune had been crushed. During its 72 days, people sang Le temps des cerises, the time of the year when the cherries bloom. It's a song about dreams and love, but also suffering and heartache. I won't attempt a detailed analysis of it here, but will suggest that it reflects a different vision of revolution from those that preceded it. Maybe the tip-off is in the attitude toward the guillotine. Our theme music for Another World is Possible, this segment of The Old Mole, is We Have the Guillotine by The Coup. The French Revolution worked its guillotine overtime. In the Paris Commune, instead, an organized women's group wheeled out the guillotine and burned it. Right or wrong, naive or strategic, cutting off heads was not their vision for how to create a better society. They also, of course, benefited from the fact that their class opponents, the bosses and officials, fled from Paris to Versailles, leaving workers in charge. As we turn to the history, here's just the first stanza of Le temps des cerises, sung by Cora Vauquer.
Thank you. les cerises et gai rossignol et merle moqueur seront tous en fête. Les belles auront la folie en tête et les amoureux du soleil au cœur. Quand nous en serons au temps des cerises, sifflera bien mieux le merle moqueur.
So what then was the Paris Commune, and why was it so viciously suppressed? Here are the words, translated of course, of Élisée Reclus, another leading participant who managed to survive the massacre and live in exile. Here he's testifying to an inquest some 25 years later. His words are worth listening to because they're not just nice words people say they're aspiring to, but his after-the-fact account of the actual, on-the-ground efforts of the Commune. He said, "The Commune set up for the future a more superior ideal to all the revolutions that preceded it, a new society in which there are no masters by birth, title, or wealth, and no slaves by origin, caste, or salary." Everywhere the word commune was understood in the largest sense as referring to a new humanity made up of free and equal companions, oblivious to the existence of old boundaries, helping each other in peace from one end of the world to the other. End quote. So, an abolition of class structures and exploitation, equality between women and men, an end to nationalism, meaning incorporation into citizenship, into membership in the commune of everyone, no matter where they came from, no borders, an end to conquests and military adventurism. What does that mean for the institution of the state? What of the market? These are themes we'll explore this time and in our next episode of Another World is Possible. There is also an explicit contrast with the French Revolution of those 80-plus years before. That revolution, undoubtedly a step forward historically in so many ways, did use the guillotine, attempted to restore slavery in Haiti, passed legislation restricting workers' rights to organize, and launched military expeditions abroad. The Paris Commune, in important respects, was its antithesis. Its participants also called it the République des Travailleurs, not a bourgeois republic, but the workers' republic. Let's begin with the question of gender. I mentioned that it was women specifically who destroyed the guillotine. Perhaps in another episode, we'll reflect on the role women have played in revolutions and on the imagery of women promoted by different types of revolution. Just as the early 20th century Russian revolutions began with women demanding bread and controls over the price of bread, the Paris Commune began with concerted action by women. On March 18, 1871, early in the morning, women of the Montmartre district blocked the French army from taking cannons from the hill that is Montmartre. The cannons belonged to the neighborhood. They'd been bought by accumulating small local contributions for the National Guard, which consisted of local men, heavily working class, not part of nor controlled by the army. The army was trying to seize the cannons to take them out of the city, out of local control. Intimidating the army into leaving, the working class women of Paris precipitated the uprising that became the Paris Commune. Soon after, they organized a union specifically for women, the Union des Femmes, the Women's Union. Among their many accomplishments, a system of daycare located throughout the city near workplaces for working women. They successfully pushed for a prohibition on child labor and contributed to the establishment of free, public, secular, and mandatory education for all children, girls as well as boys. By secular, they meant no longer under the control of the reactionary church with its patriarchal conception of gender roles. And the Women's Union was a force in emphasizing the importance of art and culture in mobilizing for struggle, and even in redefining what's meant by art. Away from the old high culture restricted to elites, they pushed also for recognizing artisanry and craftsmanship by working folks, women as well as men. In the next episode of Another World is Possible, we'll talk more about the Paris Commune, its history, what made it possible, what possibilities it showed, what accomplishments it had, and its legacy. For now, here's another version of that same first stanza of Le Temps des Cerises, this time sung by Jean Lumière.
Quand nous chanterons le temps des cerises, et gai rossignol et merle moqueur seront tous en fête. Les belles auront la folie en tête, et les amoureux du soleil au cœur. Quand nous chanterons le temps des cerises, sifflera bien mieux le merle moqueur.